Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Today, let's think a bit about cameras. No, not the cameras you take on vacation so you can take pictures, but the cameras you'll find on vacations that are taking pictures of you, and that are taking pictures of you even when you aren't on vacation. If you walk into a bank, if you buy gas at many convenience stores, if you go to a mall or even a supermarket, if you're a kid on a school bus in many school systems, surprise, you're on candid camera. Or maybe that isn't a surprise. Perhaps we're getting used to the idea of having our actions constantly monitored. Or maybe we just don't pay attention to the video cameras anymore because they've become so common in our everyday life. In Lower Manhattan, for example, there are well over 1,000 surveillance cameras per square mile. In London, the poster city for its surveillance of its citizens, there's one surveillance camera for every 6 citizens. In that fair city, if you go about your daily business, from the time you leave your house in the morning until you return in the evening, it's likely that you've been captured on a video camera more than 300 times. So what happens to all of that video footage, at least here in the U.S.? We don't know, and neither do you, and neither does anyone else, because there are no rules at all about the use of that captured video. Maybe after a day or two, it's erased and recorded over. Or maybe it's stored for a much longer period of time. And maybe it winds up being used for purposes we wouldn't normally imagine. We all assume that if a bank or a store is robbed, the police will be on the case shortly, and one of the first things they'll do is look at any video that may have been recorded. That is, after all, the main purpose of security cameras, to serve as a deterrent to would-be evildoers and to assist in crime-solving if a crime does occur. But there's no rule that says that it's the only thing that those videos can be used for. Surveillance video footage is showing up in civil court cases, not just criminal cases. For example, to buttress a divorce case in which a spouse who claimed to be, say, in Walla Walla at a particular time was instead shown to be buying condoms at a drugstore in the next town. In Europe, large grocery stores are experimenting with putting RFID tags on shopping carts and matching the video of shoppers with their carts to see, for example, what items shoppers may have picked up and looked at but chose not to buy. The rationale, as the marketing people would say, is to better tailor the shopping experience to each shopper. When people get a little nervous about all this surveillance, those doing the surveilling commonly say, "Look, if you're in a public place or in our store, other people can see you. What's the big deal about a camera seeing you?" Think about that for a moment. Do you remember every person you saw in the supermarket a week ago Thursday? No, you don't. And neither does any other human being. The surveillance footage, however, does. And that's the difference. There is no forgetting. A point made by Victor Mayer Schoenberger in his book Delete: The Virtue of Forgetting in the Digital Age, a book which we recommend to your attention. All of this private surveillance is dangerous because there are no rules on how the information that private parties gather can be used. And then there's government surveillance, which combines many of the questions of private surveillance with the power to punish or compel. We all take for granted that our image may be recorded if we walk into a government building these days. But what about if we drive past a corner with a traffic light? Or if your car is parked at a political rally or at the funeral of a political activist? Many towns across this country have installed cameras at red light intersections that can read license plates. If a car goes through on a red light, or even what we might refer to as a pink light, the license plate automatically triggers a ticket sent to the registered owner of the car without any human intervention. The claim is that this will improve the safety of those intersections. Unfortunately, research does not bear that claim out, and several cities have already taken the red light cameras down since they don't improve safety, and citizens resented them mightily. In some places, the license plate reading cameras are also being used to check if the car has insurance, and if not, a fine can be levied and/or the registration pulled. This type of use is fairly widespread in the UK already, and surveillance camera vendors in this country are touting such uses as a surefire way to increase municipal revenue. InsureNet, one such developer, pitched its system to the city of Chicago, claiming that the system would generate over $200 million in fines a year. Oh, and by the way, maybe it'll make our streets safer too. Meanwhile, here in Maine, the Maine legislature, as several other state legislatures around the country, has passed a law stating that traffic cameras could not be used to enforce traffic laws. You'd think that would have been the end of it in these parts. But you probably would have forgotten that Homeland Security has gobs of money to give away to make us safer. That seems to be why the South Portland Police Department got a federal grant to mount mobile surveillance cameras on their police cruisers. The cameras are equipped with a technology called ALPR, which stands for Automatic License Plate Reader. These cameras can scan and identify up to 3,000 license plates an hour and check them against all sorts of databases. The South Portland police claim that this is just what an officer does now when he or she makes a traffic stop to ascertain whether the car is stolen or on some other watch list. But as with video surveillance cameras in stores versus personal memory, there is a big difference. In this case, it's the sheer volume of checks that the system can make, and with no human intervention. Suppose, for example, that a police officer, either as a result of department policy or an assignment, or just because he or she didn't like something, drives through a parking area at, let's say, a political rally for a particular candidate, or a political protest. In an hour, the license plates of 3,000 cars parked there could be recorded and their owners identified. Quite an opportunity to keep tabs on who favors Sarah Palin or Bernie Sanders, or who is for or against one of our ever-present wars. Not surprisingly, some Mainers are a bit upset about this possibility, and the police response that, "You must trust us, we'd never use the technology that way," doesn't quite provide the confidence that citizens might like to have. A bill has been introduced in the Maine legislature, LD 1561, that would not ban the use of those cameras, but would prohibit the collection and storage of identifying data. The Transportation Committee is holding a hearing on the bill tomorrow, February 5th, at 1 p.m. in Augusta. If you have any thoughts on the subject, you may want to make them known to members of the Transportation Committee and/or your local legislator. Tradition has it that the first message Samuel Morse sent on his telegraph was, "What hath God wrought?" It's a good question to keep in mind as we watch the intended, and often unintended, consequences of new technologies on our lives as citizens and as human beings. And we'll continue to ponder that question right here on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.